My name is Bert Williams, from Brighton and Hove Black History.
How did you find out about Thomas Highflyer's grave here in Brighton?
Oh, it was amazing. I received a picture of a tweet, and it went from there. I came up, I took a picture of it myself, and I started doing the research, and we were quite flabbergasted what we found in such a short time. But it was so interesting, his life and what he went through on board the ship. So Queen Victoria was against the slave trade, and they sent a battalion of soldiers and sailors and ships over to East Africa to stop the slave trade. And that is to stop all boats carrying slave. And so they came across this slave dhow with 152 slaves on board. And Lieutenant Ramsbottom, one of the lieutenants on the HMS Highflyer, described these slaves as in beautiful condition, and that he selected one from amongst them as a valet and took him on board. So there was other children besides Tom that was rescued. And lots of article we found on a newspaper, the British Archives newspaper of 1868, where it was reported that the ship had rescued this particular dhow, and three boys were rescued, and they were well looked after by the officers and brought back to England.
Hello, my name's Simon Bannister. I work for the council in the communities team.
And you discovered Tom's grave here in Brighton Woodvale Cemetery?
Well, not discovered as such, but stumbled across it a couple of years ago after I'd been for a meeting with the cemetery people on something else. I took the scenic route back and happened through here and came upon that grave and thought, yeah, I know that Bert would be really interested in this if he doesn't know about it, because I've come across. And so I sent a tweet out to Bert. Look what I found, do you know about this? And he hadn't come across it, and so that's started the project off.
And because it's so overgrown around here, it's actually been very well protected from the elements.
It is, it's a nice sheltered spot. So if you look at the lettering on the Highflyer monument, it's still quite clear because it's quite sheltered and it's pointing and it's facing north, so it's away from the ravages of the elements.
What are you hoping now for Thomas Highflyer's grave?
I think that what we'd like to be able to do is, it's part of the story of Brighton at that point. This is a nice part of the story, which is about how the British Navy were instrumental in rescuing slaves during that period, had a particular unit to be able to combat the slave trade. And that's a good part of that story, but it's only a part of it. And I think that this, if this can be used to bring that to life a little bit more. Another piece of work that's going on, for instance, at the moment that this project has been involved in, is looking at the legacy of slavery and of those people in Brighton who owned slaves at that point and received compensation. And it's bringing both sides of that story to life. And I think that it's an important part of our history.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great honour and pleasure to welcome you all here today.
My name is Ibu Touré. I am the chairman of Brighton and Hove Black History, and I'm representing the BME community and representing Africa as an African in Brighton. So today we are celebrating 21st century multicultural Britain, and obviously again a significant day of being able to be present to see how Brighton have looked after Thomas Highflyer all these years, from 1870 till now, 145 years till now, and I'm seeing that Brighton people are responding to Thomas Highflyer and people are touched by his story. It's just an amazing thing to have.
The story of Thomas Highflyer is unfolding at the moment. There is still more to be discovered. What do you know so far?
I mean, at the moment we knew that Thomas was rescued in the Indian Ocean by the Highflyer, which is this ship which was commissioned by Queen Victoria. And then we knew that Thomas was with two other boys who we don't know where they are, but we know Thomas has been looked after very well in Great College Street in Brighton, and Thomas went to school in St. Mark's School, which is also a great thing. So it's just amazing to have that snippet of the history so far while we're still digging to find out more.
Do you know anything about Thomas's school days?
It has been said that Thomas has been very popular during his days at the school, and on the day when he was coming to the school, the headmaster called the whole school and told them that they were expecting a young black-skinned boy who was coming to be part of them, and that he expected the children with white skin and Christian names to be humble and kind to their new friend, which is amazing. That is just great.
My name's Jeremy Tilley. I'm a stonemason based in Brighton.
Was it a surprise to find Thomas Highflyer's grave here?
I wasn't aware of it at all, and I've been working in the cemeteries for the best part of 30 years, so yes, it was a surprise from that point of view.
So today his gravestone is being removed for renovation. What's going to happen today?
Basically what we're going to do is we're going to expose the foundations underneath it to the depth they are, dig it all out and carefully remove it back to our yard so that we can start the work on bringing it back to new.
So he's been there since 1870. That is a bit of a job, I'd imagine.
It is. It's more a case of we can't tell what we're going to find. So it's archaeological. So we're just taking it nice and easy and we'll do it as we see. And it's even better that there's a few people watching us to make us a little bit more nervous.
I'm Sarah Lee. I'm the project manager of Thomas Highflyer, which is a Black History project.
Thomas's grave has been taken away for restoration today. Momentous day, really significant in the history of Brighton and in Black history locally. What next for Thomas and the research?
Well, we've got a team of stonemasons who are going to renovate and restore the grave because it's quite old and it's green and it needs to have its engraving improved. And then we've got a team of researchers that are looking into Thomas's life, which is a fascinating detective story of why here? Why did he come to Brighton? Why has he got this magnificent stone? What was he doing here? What was life like for him? And it's a detective story. We're going to the keep, we're going to the queue, to the newspaper archives. Then we're going to get all this information and put that together into an exhibition, an educational material. And we're going to improve access so that more people can visit the grave. The stone will be newly restored and back in its place. And people will begin to learn about Thomas's life. And we hope it will be an educational resource that will grow and grow, basically.
My name's Suchitra Chatterjee and I'm a member of the Brighton and Hove Black History Group. I'm a researcher on the Thomas Highflyer project and I'm here today to see the stone be taken away and it's going to be restored, hopefully. That's if they get it out in one piece.
Important day today then. How does it feel to be here and see Thomas Highflyer's grave in the process of being taken away for restoration?
Well, for me, it's very poignant because I'm in a wheelchair and I've only managed to get up here because of the kindness of the stonemasons who have practically carried me up here and pushed my wheelchair at the same time. So for me, it means the world because this is our shared history. This is the history for everybody.
And obviously more to be found out about Thomas and his history, his past, his time in Brighton.
Absolutely. I mean, we found a little bit. There's an article that Bert and I found and he loved cricket. He apparently had many friends at the school where he went to. And that's just a taster of what we found out and we're hoping to find out more.
Thomas's journey ended in Brighton. He died at the age of 12. Do you know what happened to him, how he died?
Yes, his health wasn't too good, and Sushi got a copy of his death certificate. On it was classed as tuberculosis and dropsy, which is swelling of the body and the lungs and everything. So he passed away quietly.
What does it mean for Brighton, and what does it mean for Black history, both locally, nationally, and potentially internationally?
I think for Brighton, it's making Brighton proud, because for Brighton being there to look after this young lad is amazing. For Black history, it shows that the work that we're doing in the community and all the people and our volunteers, it just shows that what we're doing has a significance in our history, in our communities. And internationally, it just shows that history is still there to be celebrated.
We're very lucky to have four children from St Mark's School. St Mark's School was where Thomas went. And the children, they've written something themselves.
Your life may have been short, but my God, you lived it. Travelling the world at age 9, being most popular boy at my school on your first day. You were a survivor. At age 8, kidnapped with such courage, we couldn't be more proud. I bet you loved your life when you were rescued. I hope you live the best life in here in Brighton. You are and you will be remembered very well for eternity. Did you like your house on Great College Street? By Sophia.
Four months later, and we're back in Brighton Cemetery. I'm back with Sarah Lee, and Thomas's gravestone has been restored and it's back in its rightful place. Sarah, what a day!
Yes, a surprising mixture of organised chaos, feeling quite moved to tears when the children did their poems, and a real sense of a kind of glow of the warm glow of humanity, really. So, yeah, a heady mixture, I would say.
What does it actually mean then to see Thomas's grave restored and back here again?
I think for a lot of people who are of colour like myself, you're constantly looking for things that reflect you. And here in Brighton Hove, it's, you know, we don't have a large amount of black history. We don't have a Brixton or a Toxteth. So for us in the black community, to have this palpable bit of history in our town is just, it really means a lot, because it's showing the presence of people like myself. We've been here, you know, for a long time, not just since the 1960s. And so it means things on all sorts of levels. There's an intellectual level of, this is a different way to tell a story about slavery, and that's a really good resource for local school children. And there's an emotional connection as well.
We bless this place where this new stone will stand in memory of the life of Thomas Malcolm Sabine Highflyer. This stone will stand as an encouragement to all who come here. For placing this memorial, we affirm our faith in the loving arms of God's mercy.
And I guess Thomas's story, there's still more to come from him. It's still unfolding.
Yeah, I mean, we've done research now. I mean, Suchi and Bert have done a lot of research, but we've had a team of volunteers going to the Keep quite regularly, and they have been doing a lot of research around uncovering what life in Brighton was like when he lived here. So a lot of stuff around what Kemp Town was like, the nature of the school he went to. It's quite unusual for a boy of his unclear status to be sent to school, to a fee-paying school, and it was quite a good school. Then we found his old school book in the Keep, and so there's all this great stuff in there about wet play. And they went on a trip to Hastings, they went to Stenning on a school trip, so there's all this stuff in there. You know, they're quite often sick, the teachers are off sick, so it's really interesting to look at a book and just find that history coming to life. So for me, it's been an incredible journey, because I've never been through an archive like that before. So not just me, the volunteers and everybody. So we're hoping to develop that as a school teaching resource, and the children could think locally about what their school book would be like and what they would put in it and what that must be like for Thomas, and making that comparison, that connection with history, really.
I'm Johnny Worthy, and I was emceeing the whole affair, and I organised it. I'm the fourth generation of my family, black family, to be born over here. And I think it's important for people to realise that there was a black presence before Windrush.
Thomas Highflyer's story is going to go on, isn't it?
Oh, Thomas. I mean, we've got a lot more to find out about Thomas. I mean, I hope his last 2 or 3 years were happy. Trying to imagine what it must be like, a young kid to be taken and made a slave and be on a ship and have his name changed, and we can't really imagine what it's like. And what it was interesting that when Bert and Suchi went to the schools and explained the situation, one of the children said, oh, I can understand that, because I know what it's like to be black and feel lonely. But I mean, I'm so pleased that his story will go on.